There you are. Let's head to Washington, D.C. Congressman Bill Flores joins us this morning. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Hattie Scott, great to be with you on News Talk 1620.
I want to talk about the things that you're not going to get done this week before you go on a long break, but let's talk about legislation that has passed or might pass today in the House.
Well, sure. Well, yesterday we passed something called the Separation of Powers Restoration Act. It was introduced by a fellow Texan. I co-sponsored it. It basically overturns the Supreme Court decision in 1984 on a case entitled Chevron, where the court said that if there's ambiguity in a congressional statute, that the regulatory agencies, the executive branch agencies, can interpret things however they want to. We're overturning that decision. We've got some other provisions as well to reverse the ability of our federal agencies to basically misinterpret congressional statutes. That passed handily last night or yesterday. Today, we're going to take up something called the Conscious Protection Act, which deals with the way abortion is handled, particularly in California, where the state of California has said that every employer, churches, faith-based institutions, not-for-profit that are based on faith-based principles and so forth, have to provide abortion coverage. So we're trying to give some protection there. Look, there's a federal provision called the Weldon Amendment that exists to protect people of a conscience like this, and this is intended to continue that. And then we'll have several Iran sanctions bills over the course of the week, and then last but not least, we're going to pass an appropriations bill for the Department of Interior and related agencies. We've got 130 amendments that we're considering on that bill, a lot of which will continue to squeeze down what the regulatory community is trying to do.
Let me go back to the California for just a minute. This is obviously a continuation of problems that faith-based organizations have had who, for their own religious reasons, don't want to have a certain medical procedure, in this case an abortion, be paid for. It would seem like that the Weldon Act should be in place and California would not constitutionally be able to do that.
You'd think so, but so what happened is the state of California imposed this regulatory scheme anyway, and then the faith-based community went to court and then also challenged the ability of the state to be able to do that, and so they challenged it to the HHS, federal HHS, and what HHS says, no, we're not going to enforce Weldon. And so basically left these folks out there dangling on their own and forced to provide abortion. I mean, this is pretty bad. Churches are having to provide coverage to kill babies, and it's obviously against the faith of most of us. And so I couldn't believe that our own federal HHS department wouldn't stand up for the rights of these unborn children and enforce Weldon, but that's just the way they are.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Originally, folks may or may not remember that the Affordable Care Act had built in a public option. They eventually took it out in the finished product. But yesterday, in a piece that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, I believe, the president has asked for a return to a public option. Obviously, that would probably still rankle some folks on the Republican side. Basically, I guess, explain to our listeners, if you would, what the public option is and how you do stand on that.
Well, of course, I am against the public option. Basically, the public option is trying to head toward a single-payer health care system, something like the VA, which has totally fallen flat on its rear. What's happened is Obamacare has failed. They tried to use a combination of federal programs and private healthcare community and the private healthcare insurance community to force this congressional healthcare scheme on the country's economy, and it's failed. I mean, we've had 15 of 23 co-ops fail. Premium increases have just run through the roof. The cost has gone high. Doctors aren't getting paid. People are having high out-of-pockets. So the president realizes it's failing, and so what he's trying to do is change the channel and go with the public option so that the taxpayers are on the hook and you have a bunch of bureaucrats in charge of your health care. Let me rephrase that. More bureaucrats than what you already have in charge of your health care. It ain't going to happen. The House of Representatives will never pass that. We've been the firewall on a number of issues for the last 5.5 years, and we'll continue to stand in the way of dumb ideas like public options like the VA. And the VA has failed our veterans, and that's just a subset of our population. Can you imagine a VA-type program covering everybody? It'd be awful.
Congressman Bill Flores with us from D.C. So the session ends on Friday, and you don't come back until September the 6th, so you're off for a long time. And it appears that you will not take up any kind of gun control legislation or funding for Zika. Is that correct? And tell me about that.
Well, part's correct, part's not. Let's go to Zika first, which is an important issue. The House of Representatives has passed a Zika bill that properly funds Zika, and it actually funds it at the level the president asked for. And for the Democrats to block this, it's absurd. What we did is when we passed this bill, and there are some things about it I had to hold my nose off, but we passed this bill and we provided the amount of money that the administration asked for, and we paid for about 2/3 of it. Paid for means we went and got money from other programs where money didn't need to be spent and applied it toward the Zika program. Well, the Democrats decided, well, they thought too much of it was paid for and the rest of it ought to be declared under emergency spending and add to the deficit. And we're just saying, no, that puppy doesn't hunt. And so we've done our job, and what's been interesting to watch, the Senate Democrats are starting to squirm a little bit because they're getting ready to have to go home. We've already had our first Zika-related death. We've got 400 pregnant American women that have been infected with the Zika virus. They're going to start having their kids around October, November, and they're freaked out about what the optics are going to look like for the Democrats because they blocked this. Look, we did our job. With respect to gun control, before we start talking about gun control, we need to talk about underlying causes that have caused these incidents around the country, whether it's Dallas or, you go back to San Bernardino or the Boston bombers, or you look at what's happened in Baton Rouge or in Minnesota. And there's really three components. One is domestic inspired terrorism, like the guy in Dallas. You've got Islamic radical terrorism like San Bernardino and the incident in Orlando. And then you've got mental health issues, which applies to several. And we passed a mental health bill last week on a wildly bipartisan basis. I mean, 422 votes to 2, I think. Mm-hmm. So we dealt with mental health. And so we're addressing the cause, the violence. We're not addressing the weapon. For instance, the Democrats always call for a ban on assault weapons. Well, assault weapons are already banned because of the fully automatic weapons. So what they mean is they want to go after rifles, long guns. If you look at the last year's data that was available in 2014, only 3% of the gun homicides in this country were from long guns. And if you compare that to the number of people that got killed with blunt instruments, it's lower. Mm-hmm. Or the people that got killed by hands or fists or feet, it's lower. So, I mean, under this sort of logic that the Democrats have, you would go and you would ban hands and fists and feet. You would ban hammers and blunt objects. And so it might make a cool little video for them or a cool little time on the House floor, but it doesn't address the underlying causes of violence, and that's what we're trying to get to.
Now, one of the things that, just real quickly, because we are running long, but one of the things we do here on the show is we track how many murders there are in Chicago, because it's amazing, it's frightening, yeah. And they say that part of the problem is that those people are able to go across state lines into Indiana and bring guns back into Chicago, where it's very difficult. So is that going to be a part of legislation? Go ahead.
Well, no, because that's already against the law. So what are we going to do, pass a law that says if you're violating the law, you're violating it twice? I mean, that's dumb.
Right. Okay.
So, again, what we've got to address is why did that person go across state lines and buy that gun, and why did they come back and pull the trigger? What is behind? What's in their mind that causes them to do that? And so that's the smart way to address this. And so what we're going to do over this work period that's coming up is we're going to go back to our communities and talk to them and say, hey, what do you feel is actually happening? And so I'll be particularly interested to see how the folks from the Illinois area come back, because they've got the strictest gun laws in the country, and they've got dozens of shootings every week, and they have killed hundreds of people this year. You know, it's interesting, the Black Lives Matter movement, if they really cared about black lives, they'd do two things. One is look at abortion clinics to see how many black babies are killed every year, and then they'd go to Chicago and see how many blacks have killed other blacks in the community. And so we've got to quit trying to talk about this divide, because this, I mean, that's not the issue. The issue is violence, and why does one community tend to shoot itself more than other communities?
Nobody wants to be scared in the community they live in. That's for sure.
Right.
Congressman Bill
right.
Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Will you be joining us next week from Cleveland?
I will. Yes, I will. I'll be on Wednesday morning, normal time.
All right. We'll look forward to that then.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Ask everybody to pray in particular for our first responders this week, our police departments.
Certainly. All right. Thank you.